Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Welcome back to Revive. It's your girl POC. You know I'm extremely excited to be back on these airwaves with you guys today. Today is July 5th, 2017. I am extremely happy once again because I am blessed to have this platform and to speak to you guys, all you guys out there. You know what I mean? I got people from LA listening. I got people from Arizona listening. I got the West Coast on my back. Shout out to all the West Coast people out there listening to me right now. It is most appreciated. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the support. Make sure you guys go turn that blue button green on Twitter and both Facebook at Revive_POC. Once again, both Twitter and Facebook at Revive_POC. Click that blue button and turn it green. I'm trying to get my followers up, people. I'm trying to get my followers. Help me do that. And spread the word. Spread the message. We are live right now on Time for an Awakening. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Also, you can go to TuneIn and download the app, or you can go to TuneIn.com. Don't matter. Just search Time for an Awakening. You hit me, your girl POC, live on these airways, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every Wednesday, and 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every Sunday. Definitely, we have a great jam-packed show lined up for you guys. We've been having a lot of jam-packed shows because we out here working. The grind is real. We are really out here working. We are networking our butts off to make sure that we talk to everybody we come encounter with. Everybody knows what Revive is. Everybody has Revive on their back. Everybody got Revive on their head because we dropping some Revive gear. Make sure you guys hit up Tab Money for this Revive gear. I got it on my timeline on both Facebook, so if you go click that link, make sure you guys go support the platform and purchase that Revive gear. We got the 90s era dad hats. We also got the prophecy dad hats. We also got the t-shirts. We got the tank tops. We got the bandanas, and we got the jerseys coming soon. So definitely stay tuned. Support, support, support the Revive platform each and every Wednesday, each and every Sunday, and every day, because yo, I got so much going on. I just forgot. Yo, I got Comments with Consciousness coming on each and every Thursday morning and also Tuesday morning. I missed it this Tuesday because, you know, I had a day off, so I kind of slept in a little bit. No excuse. I'll be back tomorrow live at 7:30 a.m. Take your morning commute with me, your girl POC. Definitely. We'll Comments with Consciousness. We'll be talking about a lot of different things and just recapping the show on Comments with Consciousness. If you have any topics you want me to bring up on Revive, the show, or if you want me to bring up with the segment with comments with consciousness, definitely hit me up at revive.poc@gmail.com, or you can just DM me, slide in my DMs real quick, or just tweet me, or hit me up on Facebook. It doesn't matter. Just let me know what you want to hear, what you're listening to. It's important that, you know, I continue to engage and, you know, talk and speak with you guys out there, because this is what the platform is for. The platform is here to speak with you guys, to talk with you guys, to engage with you guys. So I'm extremely excited once again. So definitely hit me up if you have any topics, any ideas. Also, if you want to be a guest on the Revive platform, if you're an entrepreneur, you know, someone who has a startup business, someone who's writing a book, someone who's out there to motivate the people, educate the people, re-educate the people, whatever it may be. Also, reach out. Definitely reach out, because this is a platform that we are trying to spread for everyone. Definitely. So if you are startup entrepreneur, you got something going on, you're planning an event, you want to get people to, you know a little bit more about it, definitely hit us up. Once again, that email is revive.poc@gmail.com. I am extremely excited once again. Yo, and also use the hashtag. Make sure you guys are using the hashtag Revive. Use the hashtag Revive. So, you know, Revive is alive, hashtag Revive. You know, just for example, if you want to go ahead and tweet that out real quick, because Revive is definitely alive. Make sure you guys go use that hashtag. Also, I just want to let you guys know that we have something special coming up today. We are dropping something new. Once again, Revive is growing, man. Every time I get in the airway, I got something new to tell y'all because I'm trying to grow each and every day. So make sure you guys stay tuned because we got something special that's dropping tonight for you guys. I couldn't wait to get on the air. I'm like, nope, we're not doing it during the day. We're going to do it while we live on air so the people know it's real. So we are going to be dropping something. Shout out to Harmony the Goddess for putting that together for us. She's a really, really dope blogger. So if you are looking for, you know, a blogger, hit us up at revive.poc@gmail.com. We definitely have True Heart in the building with us, as always. Shout out to True Heart and Higher Level Communication. Make sure you guys follow Higher Level Communication on both Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. True Heart, come give yourself a shout out.
Hello, everyone. This is your girl, True Heart, coming to you live on Revive. As always, thank you so much for tuning in. If you did not catch the Truth Series this past weekend, don't worry because the Truth Series will definitely be back next Wednesday. No, I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. Next Sunday. In the meantime, be sure to follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you guys just want to stay in the loop because you never know what Higher Level Communication has to offer.
Definitely. And also, if you did miss the Truth Series last Sunday, you can definitely find that up on the Revive timeline as well as Higher Level Communication timeline. We both put that out there for you guys to hear. That show is entitled Independently Knowing the Difference. On that show, we talked about knowing, you know, the difference between independence, being independent, and also freedom, because there is definitely a difference between being independent and having freedom. So we talked about that last Sunday, the second, on Revive. We had some really, really dope guests. Come on, we had Bigger Dre, we had May, we had the CEO of the Adunde Festival. She dropped so much knowledge, and she's a really just an amazing person to have on the show because of the amount of, you know, content that she comes with, the conversation that she comes with. I really was excited to have Boomi on the show, who is the CEO of the Adunde Festival. That was really exciting. We also had Kabir on the show as well. That's my brother right there, my brother Kabir. He's amazing. When he goes, he doesn't stop, and you guys can tell. But I love his passion, I love his work, I love how he's walking in his prophecy. He knows what he is here to do. He knows his calling, and I support him 100% for that. You know, there's not a lot of many people out here that know their calling, and he definitely knows his calling. So I appreciate Brother Kabir. Definitely go check out his show as well. We're going to tweet that back out for you guys if you missed that last Sunday. But yeah, the Truth Series, the last week, the Truth Series was called Evolution of Self. So what did you guys do? So what did you do? I'm not even going to ask. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to go straight to the source. What did you do since last Sunday? Since you know what I'm saying, you're talking about evolution of self, right? What did you do?
I made a list of all the things I love about myself, and what I realized is that it just continues to grow. I started off, you know, with a moderate list, but every single day is beautiful because you learn something new about yourself, whether it's the way you react, whether it's something about your physical appearance, whether it's something internally, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Honestly, I love it because that's what I talked about on the Truth Series, just allowing yourself to grow, allowing yourself to evolve. And what I've learned is that you're not going to be the same person. I feel like oftentimes we want to stay the same. Always stay true to yourself, definitely, but allow yourself to grow. Allow yourself to develop, because certain situations and certain life experiences are going to change you. But you can't let the world change your heart, and you can't let the world change the type of person that you are. And just continue to walk in your purpose. If you haven't necessarily discovered it yet, just continue to live, because God has a purpose for everyone.
Thank you, Higher Level Communication. I just asked you a simple question. You just went off on a tangent.
That was a long answer to a short question. My bad.
I get you. We can see, you know, you've been evolving for the past couple of days. I'm with it.
How about yourself? What you do?
I had a day off yesterday, even though I didn't take the day off. I technically didn't have to go work for the person who gives me my check every 2 weeks. So that was pretty cool. So what I did was I did a lot of housework. That was my case, I felt like I was evolving, you know what I mean? Because I typically don't have enough time to do that. So I did some housework yesterday, and I really, really am grateful that I had the time to do that. So I feel like I took advantage of that opportunity. So I feel like that's, you know, helping me to evolve, you know, by taking advantage of every opportunity that presents, making sure that every minute counts, you know, every second is going to get spent in the right direction. So that's what I did. You know, I used my time wisely. And, you know, I didn't have a whole self, you know, self thing that you had, but I definitely, you know, took some time out for me, and I cleaned my house. But anyway, yeah, definitely self-care. And that was yesterday on the 4th of July. Yo, one thing about the 4th of July that really, really stood out to me is that I feel like half of the world was awoken and half of the world was asleep. Like half of the world was asleep, half of the world was awake. So half the world was asleep, half the world was awake, and it was really, really, really incredible to see. My timeline was amazing. It was like, yo, this is just another day to me. This is not no 4th of July. Some people, yo, the one tweet that really got me was like, happy 4th of July. That one really got me. I'm like, that is true. They've been lying to us this whole time, and I'm happy that you can put that out there now to show that they definitely have been lying to us this entire time. And then a lot of people on like Instagram and Twitter, they were posting things about Juneteenth. They were posting things about the Emancipation Proclamation. They were posting things about what happened in Texas. They were posting so many different things. It was just really amazing to see. It was a beautiful sight to see. It was so much Black excellence, so much Black intellectual people in my timeline yesterday, just talking about the truth, talking about what we need to actually talk about. And that's what we're trying to do here in Revive, have those uncomfortable conversations, or have those conversations that we cannot necessarily have in our everyday lives. And that's why we need safe spaces to do so. And that's why this is the platform to do it on. So definitely give us a call, 215-490-9832. Once again, that is 215-490-9832. We want to engage. We want to know how you spent your 4th of July yesterday. Did you spend it, you know, as a regular day? Because it was definitely a regular day to me. It felt like a Sunday when I looked up. I'm like, yo, I gotta go to work in the morning, but definitely felt like a Sunday to me. How did you spend your 4th of July? So I want to know how you definitely spent your 4th of July. If it was a regular day, or if you celebrated. If you celebrated, that's cool too. You know, a lot, not everybody is on the same page. So if you celebrate, I seen a lot of cookouts happening. And yo, one thing I love about Philly, one thing I really, really love about Philly is they will really make something out of nothing. Philadelphians will make nothing out of something. They will make something out of nothing. Reason saying, they will literally block the entire block off and just have a huge cookout with everyone on their block. It's called a block party, I know. But it was just amazing to see. And then some people just took their cars and parked them across the street and had their had their grill and their cookout in the parking spot that they typically will park their car in, which was pretty dope to see. Like, yo, we just gonna make this space work for us. We don't got time to be going to no parks. We don't got time to go to no beaches. We gonna sit right here and we gonna enjoy ourselves with our family and friends. And that's exactly what I wanted to see. And I actually love seeing stuff like that. And another thing, the spending power went down this 4th of July. Not as many people went out to spend money. At one point in time in my life, people that I knew really went out to like, yo, I got to go get my 4th of July outfit. I got to go get my all whites. I got to get them clean Air Forces, them clean 992s. I'm like, no one's doing that anymore. They like buy outfit. Man, I'm about to put on this white beater t-shirt and keep it moving. So it was really amazing to see that people was not out there just spending money frivolously on things that will not, you know, help them or move them forward the next day on July 5th, which was extremely exciting to see as well. So, you know, we the Black dollars really matter, you guys. The Black dollars really matter. We really have power in the Black dollar. So to see us somewhat stick together yesterday was an amazing sight to see. Definitely amazing sight to see. How did you feel about the 4th of July, Jabbar?
I enjoyed it. I honestly just took the day off. Just like you, I did some housework, and it was just a really relaxing day. I feel like I've been eating grilled food so often, and I'm thankful because I didn't make it to a cookout yesterday, but I did go to one on Monday, and it just kicked off the summer. But the crazy part is, I realized that it's really July 4th. July 4th, at least to me, signals the midpoint of the summer. And I found myself asking, how did we get here? Is it seriously July 4th? I remember celebrating the new year. Like, are we really 7 months in? So it was just a wake-up call just like you said, you claim that this year is your year. What are you doing? Honestly, because we're in the seventh month. You only have a few more months to make this year your year. Mm-hmm. So that was a really long answer, again, to your short question. But it was like, dang, we already at July 4th. But to be honest, I had an enjoyable, relaxing day. If my job hit me hard, they said, you don't get the next day off. You got to come back to work.
Got to come back bright and early. I said,
wait, so we don't get the next day trying to plead. But when I say work was dead, nobody came to work because they were probably a little.
That's how I felt on Monday, though. Enjoying their holiday. Yeah, but for real, that's how I felt on Monday, though. I was the only person at work on Monday. I was really the only person at work on Monday. And my boss made me stay the entire 8 hours. I could not believe her. Everybody left. Like, everyone walked out of the office. And I work at a school. So, you know, ain't no student, ain't nobody there. Nobody there. She was like, what if we get some emails? Who gonna respond? They're on vacation, lady. Nobody's here right now. We stayed the entire 8 hours there, man. So, yeah, coming back to work today was just like, this is the middle of the week. This is definitely the middle of the week. It's hump day. But guess what? Today is Revive Day. So I'm extremely alive because I know that Revive is alive. And that brings me to my next subject with Chris Christie. This man, 4th of July weekend, he decided to close all the public parks and the public beaches that go along with the public parks. What is wrong with this guy? And I'm never going to defend Chris Christie, ever. I do not like the guy. I don't like his policies. I don't like what he stands for, anything like that. This guy shut the government down in the state of New Jersey. He shut the government down, right? Because of the Horizon Bill. If you guys are not educated, go educate yourself. I beg you to do so. And if you are from New Jersey listening right now and you want to know why your government is shut down and why you cannot go to your national parks right now or your museums or anything like that, go look up the Horizon Bill. So this man shut down the government in New Jersey, the state of New Jersey, I'm sorry, because of the Horizon Bill. Horizon is a company, it's a nonprofit organization, and they're an insurance company. And Chris Christie, aka Donald Trump little brother, wants to take control of that. He wants to pretty much take over control, and he wants to tell them how their spending power, how they going to pretty much distribute the health care and things of that nature, and their premiums and the deductibles and all that kind of stuff as well, which is one thing that I kind of sort of don't see that nothing's wrong with that, because I believe that health care should be free, or definitely should be something that we can afford, everyday people can afford, you know. And one thing that really, you know, stands out to me now that I'm getting older is it's something called living wage and it's something called minimum wage. And in the city of New Jersey, I think the minimum, can somebody give me the numbers to the minimum wage in New Jersey? I don't want to say anything wrong. So, and I think the minimum wage in New Jersey is not covering health insurance. So a lot of people in New Jersey are not covered right now with health insurance. So Chris Christie thinks he's doing people a favor. So the minimum wage right now in New Jersey as of January 1st, 2017 is $8.44. So with definitely doing better than PA because it's still $7.25 out here. But yes, so what I'm saying is the minimum wage is not covering, or it's not helping the people of New Jersey. And that's why a lot of people in New Jersey are not covered with health, or they don't have health insurance. So Chris Christie decided that he was going to shut the government down to take over this nonprofit company, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's okay. It's not okay. Honestly, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say it's okay. I'll take that back. It's not okay. But at the same time, I understand, because I'm one of those people who have friends that are not covered. I have family members who are not covered because of the amount of money it costs to get health insurance. And that makes me also look into Donald Trump healthcare bill that they're trying to pass through the Senate and things like that. So the fact that Christie couldn't get his pass, as well as Donald Trump couldn't get his pass, is like, yo, we really have to do some research. We really, really have to do some research, because at one point, Chris Christie was supposed to be on the ticket with Donald Trump, or was a bunch of rumors going around that Chris Christie might be on the ticket of Donald Trump. And mind you, Chris Christie is the governor of New Jersey, for people who don't know. So it's just really shocking to me to know. And one thing, yo, Horizon is like a $1 billion company. And they are a nonprofit organization, which reminds me of like the NCAA and what the NFL used to be at one point in time and things like that. They're just getting over, getting high salaries, and they don't have to pay, you know, back into the community and things like that. So I do understand, but I'm not getting it, because the next day, 24 hours later, we see a picture of this man surface on the internet chilling on his private beach that he gets because he's the governor, which is not cool. So you shut all the private park, I mean, all the public parks, you shut down all the museums and all that other jazz so you can go sit on your private beach? How is that? How is that fair to the people when at the same time in your press conference you stated, oh, I was up till 1 a.m. doing work, and now I'm back in the office at 9 a.m. doing work and blah, 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 jazz. Like, you're just talking all this crap. And then the next day you're sitting on your beach with your family, cooling, drinking a cold one. When you got other families who purchased spots at a camping site or knew they were going to take their kids to the beach this 4th of July that they couldn't do so, the public beaches that they spend money on, the public beaches that they pay taxes on, they couldn't do that because you decided to shut it down. So how is shutting the government down going to be the solution to the problem? How, Chris Christie? We want to know. And you saying you're doing this for the people of New Jersey, which is not true, because you're actually hurting the people of New Jersey, and you're doing it because of the budget. Also, think about it. You're doing it because of the budget. So why would you ever think that it was okay? Why would you think that was ever okay to shut the government down on a holiday weekend? Why? That's where the money comes from. That's the cash cow, right? So it really doesn't make any sense that Chris Christie decided to shut the government down on June 30th and he's going to go sit on the beach the next day. It's just not cool and it's not fair. So I brought this up because I wanted you guys to educate yourself on the Horizon bill. So if you live in the state of New Jersey, and it's really close to me, and that's another reason why, because, you know, I live in the state of, I'm in Pennsylvania, I'm sorry, the city of Philadelphia. I live in the city of Philadelphia, and it's really close. It's literally like 30, 45 minutes away, the bridge. So it's like, the people I see, the people, I even work with people who live in New Jersey. So to know that they're being affected by this is really crazy. It's really, really crazy. So please, I beg you to do your research when it comes to this Horizon bill. If you are in the city of New Jersey, if you're from the city of New Jersey, if you're near the city of New Jersey, it's important that you do your research on this Horizon bill. Because at the end of the day, your government is still shut down. Right now, it's July 5th, and your government is still shut down. Still shut down. So thank God that the Social Security checks was mailed out 48 hours before he decides that he wants to shut the government down. Because if that was the case, you wouldn't have been getting your check the first of the month. When it comes to your SNAP benefits and things like that, you wouldn't have been getting your car wouldn't have been replenished this month. So it's a lot of little things that's going into even the DMVs over there are shut down right now. It's so many different things that are going into it. But at the same time, these people are still paying taxes. Do they, when the government shuts down, do they stop paying taxes for that amount of time that the government shut down? No, that's not true. They still got to go to work. They still got to pay taxes. You're still going to get that check. But what are the people of New Jersey going to get? That's what I want to know. Good thing that they did leave the transits open, the public transits open. So I'm excited about that, because how were those people even going to get to work? How was it going to get back and forth? Because not everyone has a car. And driving in New Jersey is really crazy. I think it's more crazy than driving in New York, honestly. Because New Jersey, they drive fast out there, definitely. So I would definitely, once again, to just reiterate, to make sure you educate yourself on this Horizon bill and the state of New Jersey. But I do just want to reiterate, today's show is entitled The Wednesday Edition, Winning Wednesday here on Revive. So definitely enter to win a chance to get some free Revive gear. We are going to tell you how you can enter to get a chance to win some free Revive gear right after this commercial break. We are going to a very short commercial break. We'll be right back. Make sure you guys follow the timeline at Revive_POC in both Facebook and Twitter. We are live tweeting each and every show, so definitely follow the Revive team. If you are on Twitter, tweet us. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what you're thinking. Definitely how you spent your 4th of July. If you know a little bit more about this Horizon bill, definitely get us involved. If you're even from the city of New Jersey, just hashtag Revive real quick so I know who's out there listening. You know what time it is. We'll be right back.
Hi. Every 45 seconds, a black man enters an elevator, and some stupid white bitch clutches her purse for her dear life. Now, you might not think we notice, but we do. And while you think you're protecting yourself, in actuality, you're provoking a savage attack. The small step to the side, your subtle death grip on your belongings. It makes me want to snatch that fucking purse out of your hands and beat your racist ass to the ground. However, I'm not going to do that. But I'll tell you what I will do. Dumb bitch. Every day's another lesson. When my head's in a whirl, if I make a wrong decision, it's not the end of the world. I will reach my destination. Make this space for me to see. With each mistake, there's a new lesson. I can be anything you want to be. Ahead of the game at a young age, the challenges of a grown man trapped inside of a young brain. Not on the short side, but stands tall when you throw the ball. That's why I'm hanging with the smart guy. AKA Mr. Know-it-all. Smart guy.
Them boy wanna talk like them wanna guan come. But what you gonna do if you got one gun? I sing a song for the hero unsung, with faces on the mirror of the revolution. No looking back, cause in back is what's done. Tell the preacher, God got more than one son. Tell the law, my Uzi weighs a ton. I walk like a warrior, from them I won't run. On the streets they try to beat us like a drum. In Cincinnati, another brother hung. Again, he won't see the sun with his family stung. They want us to hold justice, but you handed me none. The same they did to Kobe and Michael Jackson. Make them the main attraction, turn around and attack them. Black gem in the rough, you're rugged enough. Use your mind and nine power, get the government touch. Them boy chat on how him pop gun. I got the black strap to make the cops run. They watching me, I'm watching them. Them dick boys got a lot of cock in them. My people on the block got a lot of pock in them. And when we roll together, we be rocking them to sleep. No time for that, cause it's things to be done. Stay true to what I do so the youth dream come. From project building, seen a fiend being hung. With that happening, why they messing with Saddam? Burn a bush, cause for peace, he no push no button. Killing over oil and grease, no weapons of destruction. How can we follow leader when it's a corrupt one? The government's a G-unit and they might buck young. Black people in the urban area one. I hold up a peace sign, but I carry a gun.
Yes or no?
My uncle died a year before my grandfather. My grandfather died the other day. I can give a mother. If you decide to bob your head to this, family means more to me than dealers to cocaine. I believe that we can be like Kemet. I believe that love will conquer obstacles in this way. Know that. So I'ma keep on making these short story forms in the forms of rap. Walking down the hall away in autumn day. Skipping frolic, I stroll away. That was the day you threw my shit up, broke my locker. Because you had a temper tantrum for some kinks. Your little dimples, when you smile, they turn to wrinkles. After that, we chose not to date again. Your little spoiled ass. I say, I moved to college and I met me a fireball. She had more knowledge than me on the streets. I couldn't accept her features were less than honest. I chose another, she slashed my tires. When I inquired, she looked me dead in my eyes and I knew she was lying. She said she ain't do it. She did it. Check it out. Break it down for a minute. Plenty women been committed to me. Buff you, I revisit. In my mental, mainly rush. I met her, she was earth until I went into my soul and found on Pluto. Better fit a Mona Mika. Look as flawless as a picture by Picasso. Basquiat, without a doubt, she fits the perfect picture of the perfect missus. Give me the ring so I can kiss her. Come here, baby. I do.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey! It's your girl POC. We are back live on Time for an Awakening. It's me, your girl, POC. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message that we are live right now on Time for an Awakening /revive/revive. I'm tripping. You guys, timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that's timeforanawakening.com/revive. Spread the word, spread the message. We are live right now. You can also download the TuneIn app or just go to the TuneIn website and search Time for an Awakening. You hit Meet Your Girl POC. We are live right now. till 10 p.m. We got the airwaves on lock. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Spread the word. We have a lot of great guests coming up here on the Revive Timeline. Make sure you guys tune into the timeline and both follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. This Revive show, once again, is entitled Winning Wednesday. We will be discussing the latest trending topics, current events, and weekly thrills. And also, once again, you can enter to win a chance to get some free Revive gear. We are dropping some free Revive gear tonight. I am not ready to tell y'all, man. I'm itching. I ain't ready to tell y'all just yet. Yo, we have our first guest coming up too as well. They'll be doing a HBCU chicken and waffle meetup. I'm really excited to know what that's going to be about. I am an HBCU grad myself. I don't eat chicken no more. That's cool, but I'm definitely going to be at that meetup. I don't know who I'm going to meet, and I know I'm going to meet some very, very great intellectual, black, intelligent people. I'm just ready for that black excellence. Oh, once again, definitely ready for that. So shout out to our next guest coming up on the Revive platform. But before we get our guest on online, I do want to touch on another Pennsylvania story as well. Well, that was a New Jersey story talking about Chris Christie, but I want to touch on a Pennsylvania story now about a girl who lost her life due to road rage. That hurt my feelings. It extremely just hurt my feelings, and I was just saddened by it. Honestly, I was really saddened by this story. A 18-year-old Bianca Roberson lost her life because of road rage. Road rage, really? A white man shot her point blank in the head because they were trying to merge and she didn't let him get into the lane. So he decided that he wanted to pull out his gun and take her life. Y'all, let me tell you this again. They were merging into a lane and she didn't let him in the lane. So this white man got upset and took this young woman's life. He shot her point blank in the head because she wouldn't let him get in. You know what I mean? People, I do not allow to get in because I got somewhere to go. If I don't got anywhere to go, of course you can get in. But if we merging and it's my turn to go, and because I don't stop to let you in because you feel like you got some type of privilege, you feel like because you white in America, you should be able to get past me as soon as possible because you got somewhere to go just like I got somewhere to go? Hell nah. Yo, that really tripped me out. She just graduated from high school. She went to Ruston High School here in Pennsylvania. She just graduated. She was on her way to a university in Florida. She was 2 weeks away from stepping into orientation, freshman orientation, you guys. We all know what it feels like to be in freshman orientation. She was 2 weeks away from stepping into freshman orientation. And she was going to be a criminal justice major. She was going to go lock up people just like him. He just took one of the good cops off the streets, you guys. Let's talk about it. This 18-year-old lost her life because she did not allow someone to cut in front of her on a merge. And then he decided to flee the scene. He didn't stay. He left. He looked back in his rearview mirror as her car was flipping off the freaking interstate and kept going. So now we got to waste tax dollars to find this guy. I mean, yes, he turned himself in, but prior to himself turning himself in, we got to waste tax dollars to go find him, because now we got to put out, you know, flyers, and we got to hire other people to come in and do some investigation and this, that, and the third. And if you think about it, if you look up, Chester County, Pennsylvania, is one of the richest counties in the state of Pennsylvania. One of the richest counties in the state of Pennsylvania. And she was coming back from a shopping trip where she lost her life, probably shopping for new clothes for her orientation that she was about to take on, for her new journey in life that she will never get to see. Now her parents, I can't even fathom what her parents are thinking. First off, she was 18. She just graduated high school. So you already know how your parents are when, you know, you just get out of high school. You about to start driving. You about to start doing this. You about to, you know, go your own directions. You're moving in your own way. Things of that nature. So your parents are already on your back about each and everything because they want to make sure that you're doing, you know, the right thing. So now they done lost both of their kids. Her older brother died because of a heart condition. And now she died because someone decided that his life was more valuable than hers. My feelings are truly hurt. And then they had the audacity to state that he had a license to carry. That's when my mind popped. I felt like my head came off my shoulders. He had a license. What the hell does that mean? He had a license to carry. Fernando Castillo had a license to carry. He's not here to tell his story either. White privilege is real. It is real. The fact that he has time to turn himself in. He went to turn himself in. If this was the other way around, they would have been knocking on grandma, auntie, uncle, all them doors. Because they had pictures. It's cameras everywhere. It's cameras everywhere. So it's no way that this man drove off without a picture of the license plate. They were coming off a major interstate. There's no way that they didn't get this man camera the day that it happened. He didn't turn himself in until after the end of the weekend. So he enjoyed his holiday weekend. He sat back and had a couple brews with his family. He probably told them all about it. And they's like, yo, we're going to get you out. We're going to be good. You probably going to sit down for 10 to 5. 5 to 10, I'm sorry. But you're going to be good. But thank you. I appreciate you. Because that's another African-American woman that we don't have to deal with when she gets older. We don't have to deal with her mouth, quote unquote, as, you know, all white men say. Yo, it's a traumatic situation. It's really a traumatic situation. And I'm pointing the finger at Donald Trump. I'm pointing the finger at him. Why? Because he woke these white racists up. He woke them up. He told them that it was okay. He told them that it was okay to, man, he told them that it was okay that to go out there and prove yourself. Prove your privilege to the world. Go out there and prove your privilege to the world. Because right now, if I really wanted to go downtown New York on Fifth Ave and shoot somebody right now, nothing would happen to me. He said that on his campaign trail, and he's now our president of the United States. It's really crazy to think that someone literally took out their gun. And that means the gun had to be right there. It had to be ready. It had to be locked. It had to be loaded. It didn't have to be cocked back. You didn't have to take the safety off. You didn't have to do nothing. All you had to do was pull the goddamn trigger. And that's exactly what he did. He just pulled the trigger, shot her once in her head, and she went flying off the interstate. Let's talk about it. How is this okay? How can we send our kids out here in this world? How can we allow our kids to go get their driver's license? How can we allow our kids to go make, you know, mistakes on the road and to think that they're going to come back to us? There's tons of mistakes that I make on the road. Come on. So because I don't let somebody in or because I beat my horn, when you cut me off, you going to shoot me? You trying to cut me off and you going to shoot me? Really? And then you're going to not stay. You're not going to do nothing. You have no remorse. You have no conscience. Really? Mr. White Man in your red pickup truck? And God forbid, oh man, yo, True, how do you feel about it? Because I was about to go on a serious rant. It really hurts my feelings to know that he had no remorse. He didn't think twice. He just pulled out his gun and he shot this young woman. Like, he just shot her. Like, no care in the world, and shot her, bruh. And we need more people like that. We need that young woman in this world. We need her. She actually wanted to go be, you know, a police officer. She actually wanted to go fight crime. She actually wanted to go, you know, to put those bad guys away, like the one who just took her life. She wanted to go do that. And not many people want to do that nowadays. When you think about the, you know, the criminal justice system, when you think about the Justice Department, not many people want to step in that path. Not many people want to go see what that's all about because of the BS that's going on with it. Because we know it's all a lie. Because we know it's set up for us to fail. So we don't really want to touch that room right now. So the fact that she wanted to go to school, educate herself on how to properly police these communities, means so much to me. Sure, how do you feel?
I feel like every time we even bring up a story, 9 times out of 10, my comments are, wow, this is heartbreaking, this is sad, this is tremendously disgusting. And it literally, my stomach just sunk. The fact that she just graduated high school and had such a promising future ahead of her, and her life was just traumatically and tragically cut short. It's crazy, it's ridiculous, and just like you said before, he had the opportunity to get away. He had the opportunity to just go and flee the scene of the crime, but this young lady has so much promise. I'm looking at her pictures like, wow, she looks like a wonderful, wonderful young lady, and now her family is planning her funeral. What? This got national attention from people that honestly aren't even from PA. My heart is literally broken because she was so young. And she lost her life for senseless violence. And the fact that some news outlets are out there and his family, his friends are saying, oh, he was such a calm guy. He had an even keel. No, you cannot make him look like the good guy in this situation. He's a murderer, and call it what it is. People are downplaying it, saying it was road rage, saying it was that. He murdered that girl in cold blood. He is a murderer. Point blank, period. And it's just sad. It's heartbreaking. And my thoughts and prayers, and all my positive vibes go out to her family, her friends. Think about her graduating class. We talk about mental health. Talk about PTSD. Think about her best friend. She probably chatting it up with them every single day. And then you just lost somebody who was close like a sister to you. Think about her parents. And this is honestly, none of these things went through that man's mind before he pulled the trigger. Over some quote-unquote road rage? No, he has some other issues. If that one thing can just tick you off and you can take somebody's life? Bianca, no. This one isn't going to die easily. This one isn't going to die easily because so many people feel your family and friends' pain. Say her name. That's honestly all I gotta say. Her story is not going to be forgotten.
And the crazy part to me, you're right, it's not going to be forgotten, but it's definitely going to just become another hashtag and another t-shirt. You know what I mean? It's definitely just about to become another hashtag, another t-shirt, another candlelight visual. It's sad, it's ongoing, and it's really starting to become the norm. It's really starting to become the norm, and that is even more scarier than walking out of your house, you know? Man, it's that situation. My prayers are up for everyone who's involved in the situation, definitely when it comes to Bianca and her family. It's a very tragic situation. And when it comes to that guy, that white man in the red pickup, I hope he gets what's coming to him. Karma is a B-I-T-C-H, and I hope you get yours, sir. I don't really wish mean things on people, but I really, really hope you get yours. You took someone's life, an innocent life, a life that had nothing to do with you, and you're depressing, pitiful life the way your life was going, obviously, because you felt the need that you needed to just pull out a gun because somebody cut you off. That means your life wasn't going in the right direction, and that's why you need to go sit down behind them bars that we pay for right now, definitely, with our tax dollars each and every day. And you living out in Chester County, you got money. Like once again, Chester County is one of the richest counties in Pennsylvania. Understand that, definitely. But we do have our next guest coming up on the Revive platform, so definitely stay tuned. Our next guest coming up is a friend of mine. I'm extremely excited to have her on the show. We are going to be talking about some HBCU flavor, how we can connect, how we can grow together as millennials. Y'all, True R, who do we have next coming up on the Revive platform?
Next up on the Revive platform, we have Talia Davis. Talia Davis is born in North Philadelphia. She received her Bachelor of Arts degree at Cheney University. And then she decided to continue her education at her alma mater and is currently pursuing her Master's of Public Administration. Talia also serves as an active member on the recruitment committee for Cheney University Alumni Philadelphia chapter, where she began an initiative titled Bridge the Gap. Talia works closely with multiple library branches throughout Philadelphia, where she also began an annual trademark event titled Back to School Ice Cream Social. Talia is very, very active in the community. And welcome to the Revive platform.
Hey, Talia, how are you doing today?
Hello, hello, ladies. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. I'm actually excited to have you on the show today. I know we're going to have a great conversation for the listening audience to pay attention to. And I also know you're going to educate the people as always, because you always educate me every time we have conversations. So always. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell the people a little bit about you and what you're trying to do today.
Sure. So my name is Talia, as already stated. You guys pretty much wrapped up everything that I do in regards to my community organizing and my community efforts. And today I was just going to speak about the Bridge the Gap Chicken and Waffle HBCU meetup.
I'm excited about that, man. I don't eat chicken no more, but I'm definitely excited to see all the beautiful faces that are going to be in there. Definitely. You also have your business partner on the line with you as well. Could you go ahead and introduce them for us?
Yes, yes, yes. This is Mr. Ganyu, who is also a fellow Wolf Cheney alumni.
Awesome.
And he can pretty much tell you more about himself.
Hello, how are you doing
hello,
today, sir?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Good evening, everyone. Hello to all the listeners out there. Talia, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on the show this evening.
And what's your name? One more time for me.
Oh, my name is Ganyu Adekunle.
Ganyu, I love your name. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Lagos, Nigeria.
Awesome. I love your name, Ganyu. Awesome. So right now we're going to be talking about this HBCU meetup that we are having, right? And where is it actually going to be located?
It's 16th Rockland. So the venue is probably black owned. So we don't have the name, but it's, you know, probably black owned venue.
Awesome. We got to support the black owned businesses.
Absolutely.
Always. Definitely. So tell us a little bit about this HBCU meetup and how you guys got started. What is the point of having it, and, you know, why is it important that we attend this event?
Sure. Absolutely. So first off, let me just give you some background of how the Bridge the Gap initiative originated. So back in 2013, myself and another fellow, Wolf Danton Nicholson, graduated 2011. I graduated in 2009. We went and sat in at the Philadelphia chapter alumni meeting, and we heard a very touching story. And the story was basically that during the summer program, the summer bridge program, the current students, something happened on campus with the meal plans, and the alumni association had to go up to campus, you know, come out their pockets and take their time and energy and all that good stuff and go up there and feed the students for approximately a week or so. So that was very touching to us because for numerous reasons. Number one, I was fresh off the yard, so I know the struggles and, you know, how it could be, how tough it could be. And then number two, the part that the Alumni Association played, I really had no acknowledgement of it. And when I was on campus, I didn't have that strong relationship with the Alumni Association as I wish I had. So we decided to start this Bridge the Gap initiative to bridge the gap with the Alumni Association as a whole and the current students on campus, kind of as like a support Definitely. System, a backbone. Hey, we know what you're going through. We've been through it, so we can empathize and sympathize on that issue. So that's where that started from. But then I started to look around the room, and I noticed there's another gap. The other gap was the young alumni participation. We were actually the youngest alumni in the room, and it was tons of alumnus in the room. So we felt as though we needed to bridge that gap as well and get young alumni on board because we can relate more to the students than the older alumni can, with all due respect.
That's true.
So So our mission is to, again, bridge that gap with the alumni as a whole and the current students, but our vision is to increase the recruitment, retention, and graduation rates of Cheney University. And by doing so, we know that social events and fundraisers, like the one we're having, like the HBCU meetup, is strong components that can help with that.
Definitely. And I love that you're trying to bridge the gap. I think breaking that generation gap is huge. Like, I mean, humongous. One being, because if we actually sat down and had a conversation and conversed with each other, we would actually learn or understand that we learn from one another. You know what I mean? I can learn from my older generation and my older generation can learn from me. So I definitely understand what you're doing there. And I think that that is very, very important, especially when it comes to, you know, education, because a lot of older people or elder people are being taken out of the workforce or moving out of the workforce as we're now entering the workforce. And I feel like when it comes to that cycle, it tends to be a lot of, you know, constraint there because, oh, this person is coming to take my job. And we're like, oh yeah, we coming to take your job. You know what I mean? So, but if we understand, right. You know what I'm saying? But if we understand that we can actually value each other and learn from each other, and we can help you when it comes to your retirement plan, and you can help me when it comes to my HMO, my PPO, you know, cause there are a lot of different things that we can offer to each other. So I definitely agree with you there when it comes to breaking that generation gap. Huge. It's something that we definitely need to do. Definitely. So how did you, so
it's actually a generational shift in society overall too.
What you mean?
So it was like us as millennials. So it's what is it? Five generations right now. It's the traditionalists who's, you know, speaking my French, they're dying off. Mm-hmm. We have the generation Xers who's kind of reaching that retirement point.
Yes.
We have the millennials, which is us. We're new to the game, but we're, so our generation is between the ages of 18 and 35. So we're like kind of new to the game, but we're also getting up in age too. And then the generation under us is the boomlets. So when I say a generational shift in society, it's kind of like traditionalists are stepping off, the generation Xers are stepping up, and it's time for millennials to step up and step in.
Talk about
it. If that makes any sense.
No, I heard exactly what you said, definitely. But Ganyu, I want to ask you a question really quick. How important do you think alumni are to, you know, any university? But we are talking about HBCU, so let's stick to it. How important do you think alumni are when it comes to HBCU support?
When I say names of these universities, I want you to tell me the first thing you think of when you think of Howard University, when you think of FAMU, when you think of North Carolina A&T. You think of Bethune-Cookman. Give me the first name that comes to your head.
Black. I could lie to you. Black excellence, I mean, black culture. It's just so, but it's always going to start with black. Like black excellence, black legend, black legacy, black girl magic. Yeah, it's just overall the culture, black culture in general.
Right. But for me, it's fame. When I'm on that campus, when I'm on the yard, you understand, when you go to these schools, when you turn out to these football games and you look in the crowd, yes, you'll see the generations that's there, the university students, things of that nature. But then you see the alumni, you see the students' parents, you see the student athletes' parents, you see vendors, you see scouts, you see a lot of different people that cause the interaction, the growth, that causes boom for a university, i.e. such as fundraising with the athletics, fundraising with the home and culture department. When you have your athletic director working in cohesion with your president, we now have this divide where that we can go out into the community to market these universities. So when we don't have the alumni base to market to, i.e. with our university, as far as the give back rate, you think of Westchester, you think of Lincoln, they have endowment. They have somebody from way back when that left a whole bunch of money to the university just in case they ever need it. We actually do have alumni in chain universities sites that actually are able to put that type of situation forward. It's just that we have to find them.
That's true.
If we're not putting events like this together, if we're not going out supporting other events, the Free Love, my friend Emil Akalati promotes a lot of different events in the city as far as for the youth and building and getting to these useful programs that, you know, we're actually building forth like a farm system that we're funneling into the universities. At the same time, we're in the process of building men, building women that are able to go out there into the workforce, create generational income, give back to the university in order for it to thrive. But for our situation, as far as bridging the gap, we want to make sure we go out there, the guys that left Cheney University had a great time, but, you know, they're doing different things. And they have different opportunities they can bring forth. You know, they might have a number or a phone call, and know a guy that can help us point us in the right direction to get us where we need to go. So that's what this is all about. The more faces we see, the more interaction that we have, that we can actually go out there, meet people, network, be able to go out there and spread our, cast our ties loose, and make sure we can bring back just enough for other universities as well as our university in order for us to thrive for. We do not want to be a plaque on the wall.
Definitely. I agree with you with that one. And then we also don't want to see our school get wiped away as well. I definitely love my HBCU, Cheney University, to the finest HBCU, the very first HBCU. Shout out. But I have another question to follow up with what you just said. I want to follow what you just said. So by you saying we're trying to, you know, fund the school, we're trying to fuel the school with all everything that you're guys trying to do with the different organizations and the fundraising that you're doing. So would you say that we should stop crying to the state? Should alumni, alumnus, and people who are, you know, trying to get Cheney to stay alive, should they stop crying to the state and just focus on, you know, projects such as community projects and fundraising projects and things like that? Is that what you're saying? I'm just trying to understand what you're saying.
Okay. In any system for a university to thrive, there's three main aspects. You have your recruitment and fundraising. You have the education department. You have the athletics department. I think investing in the hierarchy of Cheney University and having people who have a loyalty to Cheney University in charge of Cheney University. As far as the state goes, we understand we're in debt to the state and we're in debt to the financial system. Self-sufficiency is what we're trying to look for. If we're at a point right now where we're taking the loan from the state system in order to keep operations running, that's when we have to look into the hierarchy of who's running what. Once we dive into that system and we get people who are invested in the advancement of Cheney University in upper and higher hierarchies, and understand that from our aspect, we have people who have graduated from the university, who hold degrees, who hold experiences in the positions and the opportunities that we are lacking.
Definitely. You got Bob Bogle, who is the head CEO of the newspaper. What is it? The Philly Inquirer. You got Ed Bradley, who was
the Philly Tribune.
Tribune. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right, because the Inquirer and the Tribune are two different papers. I apologize for that. So definitely the Tribune. Then you have Ed Bradley. God rest his soul. He's about to get a mural and get all kinds of recognition from graduating from Cheney University. So it's definitely a lot that comes out of that university. But it's how are we going to put back into the university is the question. That's why I'm extremely excited to have both of you guys here on the show. So, Talia, you said hold on, what were you going to say?
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off there, but one simple thing that if I can get out to our listeners right now, one of the ways we can definitely get back to our university, I challenge you, go back to your local high school. If they want an opportunity for Cheney University to come out and actually just speak to their local high school students who want an opportunity to go to college, understand you can be your own farm system to your university. If you have people that from your neighborhood school that looking to get an opportunity to go to college, become a part of a family, become a part of something bigger than themselves, now we understand for you doing your part, you help get us in your schools, we'll help them get us in our schools. Thank you.
No. I love your passion. I love your passion. So I'm going to ask both of you, because I get this question all the time. I'm going to start with you, though, Talia. So how do we break that stigma, though? How do we break that reputation that we have at Cheney, you know, by all the negative, and we never hear too much positive coming out of that, you know, that institution? How do we break that cycle and we get that positive coming out of that institution?
It starts with us. Right now, what we're doing, we're going public. We're letting folks know that Cheney, we are all about our business. You know, we are about our institution. We do give back. We do get involved. All of those things. So, like, this whole bridge to get, basically piggybacking off what Don, you said, kind of relying back to the bridge to get. That's what we want young alumnus for. We want us who, you know, I graduated 2005 from high school. It's been a couple years now, but it's not that long. I can still go in my high school, which I'm doing right now. I actually went to Dobbins. I went to Dobbins, which is a vocational school, Muriel Dobbins Vocational School. And so we have trades, and we have a lot of majors that Cheney has very similar majors. And so right now I'm actually working closely with the principal and kind of creating a pipeline. So one of the majors that we have is graphic design at Dobbins. One of the majors that we have at Cheney is graphic design. Mm-hmm. If you like graphic design, then
you know, why not carry that on? And so we also want to make sure, which is huge, is like that we have the funds for these students. So now not only do we have your major, we can possibly get you a scholarship, all those things. And so we need, what we're doing, getting the word out on a positive aspect, that's what we need to keep doing. And then we also need to make sure that we're in these rooms and that we're hearing the right news and the right information. Because people always come to me and say, I heard Cheney, it's X, Y, and Z. They never say, I read or I researched. It's always, I heard, I heard, I heard. Well, we need to be in these rooms. We need to be at these heeding Cheney's call. So when they're making these announcements and they're talking about the task force and all these things, we can relay the proper message, because that's the problem. So I think it just really starts with us. Like those, what I'm saying about us as a generation of millennials stepping in and stepping up. We got to change that. We got to change the stigma. Because truth be told, you know, we love our alma mater. All respects to Lincoln and everybody else. But without a Cheney, there will be no Lincoln. There will be no Howard. We set the platform. So we need to just, you know, we need to make sure that we carry that through and have the right news, really.
That's correct,
get out the word in the right way.
Definitely, definitely. Cause, and honestly, my opinion, I'm going to ask you too, Ganyu, but my opinion when it comes to breaking the cycle, we have to speak for ourselves. A lot of people are creating the narrative for Cheney University and has never even stepped foot on Cheney University. You don't even know what 1837 University Circle looked like. You know what I'm saying? So how can you sit here and tell me something about my university or put a stigma on my university and you don't even know what it looks like? You just listen to he say, she say, and then you run back and you go tell 1,000 other people. So now 1,000 other people believe the lie that you just created. You know what I mean? So I think that if we just tell our own story and tell our own narrative, just like how you said, then that's how we break that cycle. We got to stop allowing outsiders to create that story for us. And then we also have to be accountable. We have to hold ourselves accountable as alumnus, as current students, as people who work there, whatever it may be. You got to hold yourself accountable, and we have to hold each other accountable. If you hear something, shut that down. Don't just run with the lie because you embarrassed. Shut it down. If somebody say, oh, Cheney's this, Cheney's that, and you know for a fact is not, stop it right there before the cancer spreads. It's that simple. You know what I mean? And I think that that's what we don't do enough of, is hold each other accountable. We all want to say, see you this. We all want to pull up at May weekend. We all want to pull up at the battle of the first. But when it comes down to actually holding, you know, each other accountable, we sitting down, we sleep. So I think that's one way that we can definitely stop that cycle from continuously going or growing, is because we don't hold each other accountable. We need to start holding each other accountable, definitely. And what about you, Ganyu?
Well, as far as to me, I think it all relates to specificity correlation. Example being the demographics of Cheney University. We have 5 local demographics: Philadelphia, Chester, Delaware County, the regional counties, as far as Reading, Lancaster, so forth and so forth. We have 14 other schools in the state system that also not offer what we offer, with the same, at the same token, we do offer. As far as the negativity that we're seeing, as far as with social media and the lack of information that's being given out, it's a challenge to us and it's a challenge to the university to make sure we're not misinformed. How do we do that? On their part, they're doing everything they can to make sure social media is being actively updated for the university. That's the quickest and fastest way right now the university can change its stigma and change its aspect. I challenge the listeners, post your most special Cheney moments, post them on board. And if you have anybody who's interested, share your story. Share your story about Cheney University and how you were up there, and you look at the correlation that it has in your life right now. The challenges that you've met on campus, and how you relate that to how you're correlating that with your life right now. I challenge you to do that, and through social media, we can start there. Make it a mission, if you can, once a year, come on campus. See the improvements on campus. New dorms are being built. The old ones are being shut down in order to make way for new amenities to come. Cheney is moving forward. New direction right now, we're moving forward. What these other universities don't have, understand, we are 300 rolling acres sliced away in the richest county in America, which is Delaware County. We have access and tools and resources with minds coming together. Come on campus once a year, drop a card off, see how you can help the university. It starts with the little things.
Definitely. And And another little thing is people don't know that you don't have to be, you know, McDonald's, State Farm, Allstate, things like that to give a scholarship. You can literally just write a $250 scholarship check to yourself and donate it to the Alumni Association, the Philadelphia Alumni Association, right? And go give that child a book voucher, anything. People don't know that. Some people really think that they have to be a corporation or have some kind of LLC in order to give or donate to the university. You can donate at any given time. You can walk up there and drop a check off to the alumni department. It's a whole alumni department at the university that's not being utilized. I'm not going to say it's not being utilized, but my opinion is that it's not going in the right direction that it should be going in. And that's why I'm extremely excited that you guys are doing the HBCU meetup. So right now, by you just saying HBCU, is that means that it's geared to all HBCUs or just Cheney University?
All HBCUs. Everybody is welcome.
So how are you guys getting the word out to all the HBCUs?
Social media. I have a few friends that attend FAMU, and I encourage and employ and challenge them to spread it out in the local Philadelphia community. And this is just the first one. We look to grow this and make this bigger and bigger. And this is not just an open invitation just for the Philadelphia chapter. There's plenty of Cheney alumni chapters all across the country. Smaller Cheney is, we have people that are branched all across the country, the United States, as well even as international. So Cheney is global. Let's not just limit ourselves to where we are.
And a part of bridging that gap is to actually, so the Bridge the Gap is a national effort. Not just, it was incorporated through the Philadelphia Alumni Association, but it's a national effort. And when I say that, I mean, for instance, I had one friend of mine come out, and she lived closer to the South. She came to the Philadelphia alumni meeting because we invited her, but she lived closer to South Jersey. So now she is a member of the South Jersey alumni chapter. Another gentleman came out to the Philadelphia chapter, you know, hearing about the Bridge the Gap. He lives close to Delaware County. He's now a member of the Delaware County alumni chapter. So it's like, get involved in your local chapter, step up, step out. You know what I mean? It's just that simple. So, it's Bridge the Gap on all aspects.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What did you say, Caillou?
No, I was just saying, it's not just Philadelphia. You know, we're all across the country. I mean, like we said, we have people that come in from in and out of state. People have reached out to me from all social media, from all out of state, just willing to just donate to the foundation because one thing is the campaign is for scholarship. It's not for anybody, any single person's beneficial aspect. It's about making sure the next Cheney University student that we sponsor becomes a Cheney University graduate. Send them to us, we'll take care of them. Same way we were taking care of them.
Yep. Hey, and Tamara, this is important, too. I want to make sure that folks know exactly. So you kind of asked about, like, the HBCU overall. Mm-hmm. Like, it's open to all HBCUs. So this is open to any and everyone. But we're looking for it to benefit HBCUs in particular. And that's the particular... The proceeds from this particular chicken and waffle meetup is going directly to the $2 million campaign.
Awesome.
It's called the Last Dollar Scholarship.
No, I was going to say I'm a product of that Last Dollar Scholarship.
We need a bunch of people to come out so they all can be a part of it. Everyone who buys a ticket is contributing to that $2 million scholarship. Which, by the way, is historic because we've raised $1 million, but we have yet to raise $2 million, and we're only $150,000 away, which sounds like a lot, but it's really not. And we still have like 5 months to go to try to accomplish that goal. So that's where the proceeds are going to from this particular event, and that Last Dollar Scholarship actually helps with the retention at Cheney. We've all come across the. You know, experience where something may happen with financial aid or whatever the case may be. And this Last Dollar Scholarship has been known to help our students and get them on board and help them out to stay, you know what I mean, to stay in school and things like that. So that's where the proceeds are going. I feel like that's very important for folks to know because they can be a part of history. We've never done that. So if we get to this goal, you can say, I contribute to that. I went to the HBCU chicken and waffle meetup, and I contribute to that $2 million scholarship.
That's amazing.
So that's very important.
It is, definitely. But now that you say that, because I'm definitely someone who benefited from that last dollar scholarship, actually two years in a row. So I'm really, really excited to know that that's where it's going. Because Mr. Benjamin, shout out to Mr. Benjamin. He definitely blessed me a couple times. And to agree with both of you guys.
Shout out to Mr. Benjamin.
Yeah, definitely shout out to Mr. Benjamin. And to agree with you guys to say people are coming far. I'm actually a part of the DMV alumni chapter. I do live in Philly, but I'm from the DMV. So when I was in school, I signed up to be part of the DMV alumni chapter. So I hope I see some of my DMV alumni in the building as well. Definitely. I think that would be super amazing to see everyone come together collectively. But so what should people be expecting when they get here to this meetup? What should they be expecting? What's going to be happening? What's going to be popping off here in the meetup?
So in the meetup, gentlemen can be first. It's 2017. Gentlemen can be first.
Yeah, I mean, just look forward to a relaxed environment. It's going to be refreshments served. Just look for a lot of mingling. There's going to be a little talking here and there. Look for a lot of mingling, talking to people, meeting people. And, you know, go ahead, Talia.
So it's going to be a meetup. It's going to be a lot of people talking and engaging. And is it going to be like some kind of networking, like a business card exchange? What are the people going to be excited to see when they get there?
Yeah. So we're definitely going to. They could definitely look for some roll calling. It is a networking event. I'm sorry. It is a social / networking / fundraiser. All of that in one. So we definitely want to engage the crowd. We are young. We like to move around a lot. So it will be some engagement. We will have some interactive activities going on there. And what's important to me is to hopefully influence and empower the next HBCU to do the same thing. You know what I mean? That's why we wanted to make it general and not just for Cheney. So we also, if we've done in the past, we actually in December, we did an LUCU. The tie that bonds us, right? We know we the first, but anyway, it was called the tie that bonds us. And what we did was raise 450 books for third to fifth grade students at Harambe Charter School, which was founded by another Cheney alumnus. And so the goal is to get other HBCUs involved too. Hey, start the Bridge the Gap initiative. Get your young alumni involved. Let's bridge the gap within your institution, within your alumnus. Raise money, all of that good stuff. So we're hoping to influence the next HBCU to do the same as well, on top of this being a networking and a fundraising event.
Definitely, definitely. So how can people reach out? How can people find more information about it? How can they purchase some tickets, definitely, so they can contribute to these scholarships that you guys are trying to offer?
So the goal was to make it, again, interactive. So we wanted to do the whole old school, we're dropping off tickets, you know what I mean? We're coming to your doorstep, all of that good stuff. But for folks that is coming ways, we do have an Eventbrite that they can click on. The link is in my bio. My Instagram is T_07. And I also have it on my digital campaign page, which is TLD, Building Bridges. And I'm sure Ganyu and the rest of the gang probably have it as well on their stuff.
Awesome. So pretty much you just go click that Eventbrite link. That's how you purchase the tickets and show up, right?
Absolutely. Awesome. And listen, if it's complicated and they see the flyer, 1605 West Rockland Avenue is the address, and they can just come up, and I'm sure we'll fit them in. We're not turning anyone away. We're trying to make it as big as possible and have as many people engaged as possible.
Definitely. Millennials,
step up, step out. Let's get it.
Definitely. We're tweeting that out. We're going to let the people know, as well as the link, so they can find that as well. One last thing. I do want to ask you guys a question. This has nothing to do with your event that's going on, but I just want to know where you guys are when it comes to, you know, just being aware and education. Do you think that there's a difference between knowledge and education? And I'm going to start with, okay, go ahead, Talia.
So I feel like education is something that you're taught. And knowledge is something that you actually teach yourself. that you learn firsthand or that you, yeah, that you pretty much experience for yourself. I've had education, but I feel like in regards to knowledge, I had to kind of wake myself up.
Talk to him. I agree.
So I feel like that's the difference.
I see you. I see you. And what about you, Ganyu? Before I let you go today, do you think that there's a difference between knowledge and education?
I mean, well, you know, me being a foreigner and coming into the educational system here in the United States, as far as for me, what education goes, education for me is to be gained in as long as there's a suitable environment. The environment is suitable enough to foster where education can be served, you can get it. But with the school systems that we're in right now, it's imperative that basically, you know, just enough to sit on that test so they can pass you along. When knowledge comes with experience. Knowledge comes through trial and error. Knowledge comes through research. That can be self-gained, and that can be taught different ways. Knowledge can be gained through the streets. It can be gained through books. Knowledge, you can gain it, is a part of you, is experience as you grow with education. As long as the environment is suitable to foster the education where the child is learning at a rate where they're supposed to progress, not at a rate where they're supposed to be distracted and know just enough to move them along. So it's a give and take with me as far as education, but as far as knowledge, knowledge is gained through experience, it's gained through life, and it's gained through, momentum, basically.
Definitely. I agree with you right there. I love both of your answers for that question. Definitely. And I thank both of you guys for coming on the Revive platform and supporting the Revive platform today. It was really important that we had you guys on so we can let people know that, you know, keep the HBCUs alive, save the HBCUs, especially my alma mater, Cheney University. Shout out to all the Cheney University alumni who is listening right now. Make sure you guys are attending this meetup that's going down this Saturday in the beautiful city of Philadelphia. So once again, we are tweeting that link out as well as the address for you guys to find that information. Go ahead and click that link, purchase the tickets. Even if you cannot show up this weekend, still purchase a ticket to donate to the scholarships that these beautiful people are trying to get out to these young kids out here who are trying to educate themselves so they can get the knowledge behind the education, definitely. So definitely stay tuned. We'll be right back at this commercial break. Thank you once again, Talia and Ganyu, for coming on Cheney U Alumni. We'll be right back. We're going to have our next guest coming up as well. We have some really, really great guest on the show today. It's jam-packed. I'm trying to tell you, each and every show is jam-packed. Stay tuned to the Revive platform. You know what time it is.
We're living in the age of loneliness. We're more connected than ever before and yet more isolated. We talk at each other rather than with each other. We rely on social media in place of face-to-face contact. Our friend lists have grown, but the list of people we can share the real stuff with has shrunk. 20 years ago, 1 in 10 people said they didn't have anybody they could talk about important matters with. In 2004, that number was 1 in 4. Think for a minute about all the stuff that doesn't make it into our Facebook feeds. Breakups and layoffs, depression and loneliness, addiction and mental illness, grief and loss. All of us carry something, but whatever it is we carry alone. The result? Losing someone or something we love, one of life's few guarantees, becomes the one thing we can't open up about. We believe that some of our most meaningful conversations and connections happen when we choose to talk about the things we normally avoid. Why? Because we've seen it happen. Everyone in our community has experienced some form of significant loss and get together around casual potluck dinner tables to talk about our experiences and what it means to live well after. We're out to turn today's biggest conversation killer into a conversation starter. And enjoy ourselves while we're at it. Because we've got this.
Every single outfit was amazing. I think it was really out of the box, everything that we shot today. Something that I hadn't done before, so it was exciting to experiment. My beauty role model is Tracee Ellis Ross, my favorite and only TV madre. She is such an inspiration because just seeing her on a daily basis, she has embraced her natural beauty. And whenever she puts on makeup, it's from a place of empowerment. And it's from a place of, this is what I want to do with my face today, not from a place of covering anything up. And she really just accentuates her own features when she does put on makeup. And it's really inspiring to see as a young actress, but just as a young lady, somebody who's so empowered in who they are. Black Girl Magic for me is one, just a way of expressing how fabulous women of color are. Just look around you because there's plenty of Black Girl Magic around you, and recognize all of the magic that has been set forth in front of us. Embrace who you are. I mean, oftentimes we feel as though beauty standards aren't meant for us. They are meant for the majority culture. So just understand that you are beautiful in your own way, and it's not about looking like that person or looking like that celebrity, but looking like you and being so happy that you look like yourself.
Negus.
Negus. What is the language of origin?
Ethiopian to Amharic.
What is the definition?
A king. It's used as a title of the sovereign of Ethiopia. Negus.
Negus. Could you use it in a sentence?
The Negus ruled Ethiopia until the coup of 1974.
Negus. Could you repeat the definition?
A king. It's used as a title of the sovereign of Ethiopia. Negus.
Negus.
Andrew, would you say the word loudly for the judges?
Negus.
One more time?
Negus.
Negus.
Negus. N-E-G-U-S, Negus.
Absolutely stunned, but he'll take it. Again, when in doubt, sound it out. Spell it just like it sounds, and it pays off every once in a while.
When in doubt.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC.
And welcome back to Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Once again, we are live on these airways on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can download the TuneIn app or go directly to the TuneIn website and just search Time for an Awakening and hear me, your girl, POC, each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Make sure you follow us on Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. We are live tweeting. You guys, guess what? I am extremely excited because I am about to drop what is up next on the Revive platform. We have so much for you guys. Trust me when I tell you, we are dropping some information for you guys today. Yes, we are dropping our newsletter today. Yes, 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 we are dropping our newsletter today. I'm extremely excited. I'm extremely excited. The first person who Y'all, I can't get them all. They're excited for them. The people going wild. The first person who subscribes to the Revive newsletter on both Facebook and Twitter, go, go, go right now, will win some free Revive gear. This is a Revive winning Wednesday. So if you want some free Revive gear, go subscribe to the Revive newsletter right now. We are dropping our newsletter each month. Once a month, we're going to be dropping a newsletter to recap all the events that we took part in the month prior, all the shows that we had, the pre-recorded episodes, where you can find the upcoming events, where you can find any news, any current topics, any trending topics, things like that. You are going to find there on that Revive newsletter. So definitely subscribe to the newsletter right now. The first person to do so will definitely get some free Revive gear. Once again, shout out to Harmony the Goddess for putting that together. I really, really do appreciate it. It's definitely appreciated. We needed it. And once again, Revive is alive and we are growing each and every day we get on these airwaves. And we want to make sure that we bring the right content, the right information, the right facts to you, you guys, as you guys continue to support. But we are going to get right into the show. We have our next guest coming up as well. I'm extremely excited to have these guests coming up because of what they're actually doing. They're innovating the game. They're changing the game when it comes to communication and how we converse with each other. They're allowing people to have safe spaces to get things off their chest and to get things off their mind. Yo, Chuhar, who do we have coming up to the Revive platform today?
Up next on the Revive platform, we have Jennifer Bailey. Jennifer has been named one of 15 faith leaders to watch by the Center for American Progress. Reverend Jennifer Bailey is an ordained minister and an emerging national leader in multi-faith movement for justice. She is the executive director of Faith Matters Network and the co-founder of the People's Supper, a national campaign building community through shared meals, focusing on healing and bridging the rupture at the heart of our democracy. Reverend Jennifer, welcome to the Revive platform.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm extremely
It's been a pleasure
excited.
To listen in and hear the conversation thus far. So it's exciting to jump in and keep the momentum going.
Definitely. I'm excited to have you on the Revive platform today. You do not know how much I love to eat and how much I love to talk. And you have combined two of my favorite things into one platform. Go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the people a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again for having me on the Revive platform. My name is Reverend Jennifer Bailey, calling you from Nashville, Tennessee. So I'm in the heart of a red state that, you know, is not always the most comfortable place to be a woman of color. And, you know, I guess the story of the People's Supper, which is the thing I wanted to talk to you all about tonight, really begins on November 8th, 2016, as I was watching election returns come in. Polls had just closed in the East, and I just started crying on my kitchen floor. You know, a lot of people were saying, take heart, you know, it's not over yet, but something in the pit of my stomach told me that the current president that we have had just been elected. And I rocked back and forth on my kitchen floor, repeating over and over again, I don't feel safe, I don't feel safe, I don't feel safe as a Black woman in America, I don't feel safe. And then I swear to y'all, I could feel the spirits of the ancestors surround me and remind me that we've never been safe in this country.
Never.
And ever. And so, and I also felt their energy, right, their wisdom surrounding me and say, the one thing that we have been good at is not only surviving, but thriving against the greatest obstacles. And it was really out of that impulse to do something in the post-election moment that the People's Supper was birthed as a collaboration between myself, my friend Lyndon Flowers, who runs an organization called The Dinner Party that helps 20 and 30-somethings process traumatic grief and loss, and my friend Emily May at Holla Back, which is an organization that works on online and street harassment. And what we realized is one thing that we all had was the ability to circle people up around a table and break bread together. Because if we were going to get to the heart of what ails us as a nation, it had to start with actually listening and seeing one another again. And I don't know about y'all, but one of my favorite ways to connect with people is over the dinner plate.
Yes.
And so, the People's Supper was born out of that impulse. It started as a campaign really for the first 100 days of the administration. And one of the things we realized pretty early on in the project was that people were asking two very different sets of questions in the post-election moment, right? There was that impulse for a lot of marginalized communities, vulnerable communities, communities that had been directly attacked during the election cycle, but also have been directly attacked in the past 400 years of history in the United States. And I think there were some folks who really needed a space just to be in community and do healing work. And so there are two tracks for our dinners, one called Healing Suppers that's really focused on creating, we don't use the term safe space because, again, we know that there's no such thing as safe space, particularly for people of color in this country. We use the term brave space. So we invite people into brave space to be and be seen together over a shared meal and do that really real work of naming our traumas collectively and naming the spaces where we feel most hopeful. Because I think, especially during these dark days, it's important for us to gather in community to create those healing spaces, because sometimes it feels like the barrage of bad news never stops. And the second sort of trend we noticed in the post-election moment was the real need for some folks who were ready for it. And I say we're ready for it because I don't know that everybody needs to be doing this work, right? I think it's a particular call, was to do some bridging work across lines of radical difference. So circling up with people who may not share the same ideological or political viewpoint as you, but to me, and this is, you know, the Black church preacher in me, it struck me that what feels like it's amiss during these times is really what I would call a soul sickness rooted in what I would call the God of white supremacy, right? that we've never really addressed in this country. And the only way that we can begin is by naming it. And the only way we can begin to name it is by building relationships with one another to really see our stories in a true and authentic way. And so that's what the People Supper is all about, gathering people across the dinner table to have these conversations. And I will say we've hosted over 500 dinners since January 20th across the country. So people are hungry, hungry for these spaces and for these conversations.
Amazing. It really truly is amazing. And for people to feel safe, you know, to invite you into their homes and whatnot, to have these different conversations in the safe space, you know, it's extremely exciting to know that. So how does one, so let's say if someone wants to have a dinner, how does one reach out to you? How does one find information on that?
Well, you should follow us on social media at the People Supper, on Twitter or on Facebook. We're at the People Supper. Also, visit our website, www.thepeoplesupper.org. There you can sign up to host a dinner or join a table. So, you know, some folks aren't quite ready to invite strangers into their household, right? But if you want to get a taste and a flavor for the work that we're up to, you can join a table. You fill out a really simple form and we get in contact with you. We have, you know, heard from people across the country in over 200 cities and towns. And so even if there's not a table in your specific area, we can find and match you with people who are close by.
Awesome. So where was the first supper held at? Where did you guys have the first supper?
Yeah, so the first supper, it wasn't just one, actually. So we did it on January 20th, which was Inauguration Day. Or,
smart.
Yeah,
that was smart.
I was going to use the term doomsday.
But
Inauguration Day. And it was done in conjunction with a bunch of folks who were going to Washington, D.C. for the Women's March. And so we hosted 8 tables in D.C. to feed hungry travelers who had come in town. And we have an amazing host network there in the DMV area. And so that was the first set of dinners that night. And again, we've spread across the country. It really feels like, and we're not the only ones, right? A few weeks ago, we got to partner with the Dream Defenders, which is a rad organization out of Florida that does a lot of work around Black liberation for collective liberation. And, you know, on June 21st, we partnered with them for we called it a movement-wide dinner party. And we heard from 10,000 people on one day, hosting over 400 dinners in cities and states across the U.S., you know, and so it feels like there is something about this particular moment in history that is calling people inward to connect with one another in a more meaningful way. And we're super excited because this summer we are taking advantage of the hot weather. As part of our the People's Supper campaign this summer, we're hosting people's barbecues across the U.S.
Awesome.
And so you can, come out to the cookout. If you're in Nashville, you can come over to my house ever. And we're partnering with a group called the Love Army on that, which is a project that was launched by Van Jones sort of in the aftermath of the election, realizing that one thing that's been absent from our politics is a conversation about love. And love even through, again, this notion of our radical differences. Because if I truly believe that in order for us all to be free, we all have to be free, right? That means naming the particularities of experiences of oppression in spaces. And when ready, and I keep saying that phrase when ready because I do recognize that not everybody is ready for these conversations, right? For many people, the idea of sitting across the table from a Trump supporter.
Or they're running from those conversations.
It's dangerous, right?
Yes, definitely.
And for those who are equipped to do so, and I say that because not everybody is, not everybody is geographically located, but I need people to talk to their kinfolk, right? Because somebody's uncle and auntie voted for our current president. And I think part of the challenge we're facing is that we just don't speak the same language anymore. And, you know, it is a controversial statement that I'm about to make, particularly in my movement circles. But I, as a minister, have to see the God presence in those who are other than me. Even those folks who disagree with me, who vote very differently from me, I see, and it can be really, really hard sometimes, really hard to see the God presence in folks, particularly who share such radically different views than I do. But I think every encounter with difference is an opportunity to learn more about the divine and thus to learn more about ourselves. And so that is one of the reasons why it is important for us to create a table where all feel welcome, even if, right, we might have those radical differences at the table.
Definitely. What is one of the wildest conversations you found yourself getting into? Like, what is one conversation you're just like, whoa, we can't go all the way there with that one?
Yeah, I'm thinking, so at this point, I've been a part of 7 suppers, either hosting or facilitating conversation. One of the most powerful moments, we did a dinner here in Nashville, Tennessee with a group of undergraduate students at a local university. And I was sitting between 2 students, one of whom was an international student from Turkey, and the other was a Black man who had been born and raised in New Orleans and came up during the Katrina moment.
Okay.
And we're sitting around sharing stories of a time that we've been made to feel unwelcomed or not safe or at ease in our own bodies. And the young Black man shared, you know, the experience of growing up in New Orleans in this sort of Katrina moment, that displacement, but also some really hard encounters with policing as a young Black man growing up, being taunted, right? Being pulled over for no reason, being made to feel criminal. And this young man from Turkey, of all places, started sharing his experience of being from Istanbul. And one of the first things his father taught him, he told us, was not to trust the police because of the secret police and because you could be disappeared. And so it was this really interesting moment for me where these 2 young men who are about the same age from different parts of the world were sharing a mutual experience of state violence and finding commonality in one another's stories. And there was something so deeply profound to me about the ways in which our stories can unlock degrees of connection that we never imagined would be possible. I'm sure if they had just met on the quad, right, that depth of conversation wouldn't emerge.
They would have never,
it would have never come up, right? There was something about being at the dinner table and having a conversation that was where the right questions were asked so that they could begin to open up and share about their experiences. It was really powerful, really, really powerful.
Awesome. And by you saying that he was from Turkey, so that means, you know, they eat different food. So are all different kind of culture, is it sitting on the table? Is it all different kind of foods that is being prepared? You know, what's on the menu for different conversations like this?
Yeah, so we are a big fan of the potluck dinner. So we invite people to come to the dinner table bringing dishes that mean something to them. Dishes that either remind them of home, however they define home, or dishes that just are reminiscent of something culturally that's important to them. And so we make sure, particularly recognizing the presence of different dietary needs and restrictions, to coordinate that with our hosts. And it's really powerful when people are able to share a little bit of their story through what's actually on the dinner plate. And so we are a big fan of potluck. We also are, we're not a wealthy campaign. We're pretty scrubby, so we find that potlucks, inviting people to bring stuff to the table, is a really powerful way to keep budget down and allow people to contribute with as well.
And there's nothing wrong with that, definitely. Put your money where your mouth is. If you want to eat, bring something to the table. I agree with you on that, definitely. So how do these conversations get started? So let's say we meet up and it's about six strangers at the table and only two people on the table know each other. How did the conversations get started? Is there like a facilitator, a leader there from your organization? How does it get started?
Yeah, so we train our hosts. So if you wanted to host a dinner at your home, you would sign up on the website and then you would go through a training process with us. So awesome. We provide folks with a full toolkit of a step-by-step on do's and don'ts as part of facilitating conversation, along with some conversation starters. We also have created a ritual zine because we recognize that one of the things that's so deeply important and grounding us is ritual, whether that's, you know, lighting a candle or building an altar to honor the ancestors that we're bringing with us into this space, or doing a meditation moment. We have a list of really provocative meditations that we found to be powerful. So if you were to sit down at my dinner table, we'd probably open with an opening meditation or a lighting of a candle to welcome in the fullness of our stories and the people we bring with us. And then we would set our ground rules. We know that it's important in any space, right, to set the boundaries of what the conversation is going to be. Mainly that focuses on things like, you know, I grant you welcome. And in exchange for granting you welcome, you know, I expect welcome from you as well. Confidentiality is a really important part of our conversation because people do go deep, and we want to make sure that people are held in the respect of their vulnerability. And then we played up, because nobody wants to have conversations when their tummy is grumbling. We have, for each of our tracks of dinners, four real guiding questions after we do a round of introductions. For the healing suppers, it focuses really on, you know, times that, you know, you were hurt, right? Times that, there's a quote from Ruby Sales, who's a civil rights activist who was recently interviewed, who, you know, just asked the question, where does it hurt? And we found that by asking open questions that allow people to dig into their own story, you'll be amazed about what surfaces. And so, again, we have a list of guiding questions that lead people through a process, starting very personally and then visioning outward, thinking about what it would look like for us to have in the healing supper track whole and well communities. And so afterwards, we plate up, we do dessert. We invite people to always do end with something sweet. And then we invite folks to circle up and do it again. So we have a whole list of conversation prompts. And what we found is that folks certainly use our guidebooks, but it is equally important and organic, the questions that are generated from the conversation and from the people in the room.
Man, this is important. This is really, really important. I hope your brand takes off, and I hope everyone has at least a dinner once a year in their home to start a conversation, because I think that is going to bring back the unity that we're looking for. I've been screaming that here on Revive, and that's one of the main reasons why I was so excited to have you on the show, is because one conversation can change your perspective on so many different things. You know what I mean? It's one conversation. One time you just open your mouth. You never know who's listening. You never know who you're talking to. You never know who day you can make, you know, by just having a conversation and conversing with different people. And I really, really do appreciate what you're doing with your platform. But I do have one question. So is this something that's all year round? So on holidays, you're always open. It's always all year round, right?
Yeah, so we're all year round through the State of the Union next year. So we are a campaign, and as we know, campaigns usually have a beginning and middle and an end. And it was important for us to really seed this space during this first year of the current administration. But we will live on in multiple ways after the State of the Union next year. But, you know, we're an open shop. So if at some point over the next 6 months or so you want to circle up, please, please, please contact us. And one more invitation I'd like to make to your listeners as part of the sort of post-4th of July moment. We're really reclaiming this month of July as not Independence Day or Independence Month, but Interdependence.
Talk about it.
Day. And as part of that, we're doing a campaign and pledge called the Pledge of Allegiance to Each Other, reframing the sort of concept of that, you know, the thing that we need most in this moment is a vision where we are committed to our neighbors next door and miles away. And so we'd invite you to check out the Pledge of Allegiance to Each Other and sign on to do a dinner. You can find that on our website, www.thepeoplesuffer.com/pledge.
Awesome. And go ahead and give them your social media one more time before I let you go today.
Yeah. So you can follow us on social media on Facebook at The People Suffer or on Twitter at The People Suffer. It's pretty easy.
Awesome. I appreciate you coming on the Revive platform and supporting the Revive platform. I am going to try to get a meal started here in Philadelphia. I'm going to try my best. Please hold me to it because I think that this is definitely. I think this is extremely important that we do so. And once again, I just absolutely love what you're doing. I hope you, I wish you so many different blessings on your amazing, amazing success. I know you're about to accomplish. So I just want to say thank you once again and continue doing the work that you're doing. Continue walking in your prophecy. I believe in you.
Yeah, thank you, and peace and blessings to you all as you continue to expand on this incredible platform that you are giving voice to so many folks that need to hear a message of liberation from the guests that you have on. So blessings to you as well.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
All right. And that was just an amazing guest. Man, she's a reverend. She's out there doing her thing in Nashville, Tennessee. And her platform is amazing. She's bringing people together over the dinner table to converse and just open up in a safe space, just to have a safe space to have those different uncomfortable conversations. So shout out to her and shout out to our platform. Tune into our Twitter right now. We are tweeting out the links as well as our Facebook. We're posting those links on our social media. So definitely stay tuned to that. But we do have one last guest coming up on Revive. So definitely stay tuned. She's going to educate us on what they're doing this weekend with Carefree Black Girl. I just love that hashtag. That hashtag definitely just reeled me. And I'm like, yo, I got to go see what this is about. We got to get them on their show. We got to get them on our show right now, right now, right now. So who do we have next coming up on the Revive platform?
Up next, we have Ivy, and she is the co-host of Carefree Black Girl Podcast. She is also the host of The Ivy Show on RFP TV. Welcome, Ivy, to the Revive platform.
Hello.
How are you today, Ivy?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm excited for you guys to be on the show as well. That hashtag just reeled me in, Carefree Black Girl. What does that actually mean to you?
So Carefree Black Girl is just someone who is comfortable, in my opinion, someone who's comfortable in her skin, that celebrates being Black and just being great and just living life one day at a time. But, you know, just as a Carefree Black Girl.
Definitely.
So, I'm sorry. I just got out the gym trying to, like, tone up.
As you should. That Carefree Black Girl. I can feel it. I can definitely feel it. Definitely. So go ahead and tell the people a little bit about what you do, though.
My name is Ivy. I'm actually one of the co-hosts. It's four of us. I was the only one that was able to call in tonight.
Thank you.
But We do the Carefree Black Girl podcast. We do, like, we record once a month. We're now on our sixth episode. It was actually started by our producer, Quana MC, and she brought us all together as four girls just living different lives and doing different things to just, like, be the champion and be the face of this movement, which is, like, it's crazy because 6 months ago, we didn't think that it would just turn out to be, like, not even, because this is just the beginning, but, like, so many Black girls have embraced us and think, like, you know, just appreciate what we're doing for the culture and what we're doing for Black girls, which feels amazing. I was just at a day party the other day, and this girl jumped on me like, oh, my God, you're Ivy. I love Carefree Black Girls. I love what you're doing. You're giving us a voice. And that's, like, really what we're trying to do. We're trying to really change the narrative of what people deem as a Black girl, and we're trying to give it different faces because we are all different people, you know, like we all, I feel like a Carefree Black Girl comes in so many different, like, looks, faces, like, some people get it confused and think that the Carefree Black Girl is just the natural girl with the flowers, and that can be her, but there's also girls that's carefree with weaves and braids, and it's so many different looks, so I think that's what's important with me and my co-host. We're all four different types of women, you know, that all celebrate being Black, all love being Black. We're just, like, just here to support each other and just give people just that once a month. We were trying to do more than once because people are already asking us, like, one time a month episode is not enough, but our schedules are crazy at this moment. But, you know, we're just trying to give someone, our women, our sisters, a voice, you know?
And I love it. I truly love it. And you're not just talking to one generation of Black girls. You know what I mean? You're talking to all generation of Black girls. And that's one reason truly why, you know, you guys truly just wrote me in. I'm like, yo, I got to talk to these women right here. And I'm excited that you're on the show. But you guys have an event coming up this Saturday. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about your event.
So we have an event. So right now we do, we have these Carefree Black Girl cookouts. And we just had one in June in Brooklyn, but now we're going to be in Philly this Saturday.
Awesome.
So definitely come out. We're going to be the Life Do Grow Farm. So it's 2315 North 11th Street in Philadelphia. So definitely come out, link up with some beautiful Black women, and just vibe out. It's so cool.
Definitely. So what made you guys start the cookouts, though?
Well, actually, So our founder, Quana, like, she's been doing this. Before even the podcast, like, came about, she's the one that, like, owns the LLC. She started the whole Carefree Black Girl movement. She's been doing these cookouts, and just to give people, you just to bring women together, you know, because, like I said, if you look on TV, it shows a different narrative that some of us really can't relate to, like, these reality shows have us divided and throwing drinks in each other's faces, and that's not really what we're about. We're really about unity and sisterhood. So she decided to, like, throw these cookouts, and now she did one, and she did some in Atlanta, and she did some in Brooklyn. So now we're actually, like, moving because they're in demand in different cities, which is, like, so dope. And, like, we had one in Brooklyn. We had, like, Izzy the Goddess. We had, like, a meditation circle and goddess talk. And it was just so cool. It was, like, such a... It was just such a feeling that I haven't gotten anywhere else. And it's different from going to a day party and turning up. It's, like, a place where you can vibe out, meet other women, and just understand each other and connect like no other. Because, you know, who else understands a Black woman like another Black woman? So that's basically, like, what we're doing, what she's doing, and it's just amazing. And we just want everyone to just come out, have a good time, just eat, drink. It's definitely things, like, the food is amazing. So, yeah, just, and I probably won't be at the one in Philadelphia, but our other co-host, Dosh, is going to be there, Bree, going to be there, so definitely come out and meet us. That's going to be fun.
That's awesome. Is there going to be any male perspectives there? Or is it
Yeah, we definitely always invite males. Okay, you know, it's okay, so funny because a lot of males actually listen to the podcast, which is so interesting to all
to
of us.
To find the answers. They're looking for the answers. They think they Jay-Z to these Beyoncés out here. You hear me?
Yes. We definitely get a lot of male listeners. And actually on our latest episode, the Father's Day issue, we had a guy come on. So that was pretty dope to get his like experience as a father, as a black man raising a black woman, you know, black young girl. So we definitely are open and we definitely invite men because we want them to come and see us in a light that, like I said, they don't always see us in because of how we're depicted on TV and how our narratives are being told. So we definitely, yes, I love when guys come out. I love when guys support us because, again, it's all about unity and celebrating being black.
Definitely. So, Ivy, if you can go ahead and give us that address one more time, as well as where we can find more information about the podcast and what you guys do, if you guys got a website, any social media handles, things like that, so we can go ahead and get your following up.
So, the Carefree Black Girl Cookout will be in Philly, 2315 North 11th Street, Philadelphia, PA, zip code 19133. You can follow us on Twitter, CFBG pod, and you can also follow the hashtag Carefree Black Girl. We'll have basically all the information is on our Twitter. We also have Instagram, Carefree Black Girl _ Inc. It's me, Ivy. We have Daj, the other host, IS Jones, and Bree. And you can find all of our Twitter handles again on our Twitter. You can find our podcast on iTunes. It's hashtag Carefree Black Girl. On SoundCloud, hashtag Carefree Black Girl. Google Play. It's some other ones. Those are the top three I can remember right now. But
oh, awesome.
You go. Our website will be coming soon, but for right now, we really are mainly on Twitter. So CFBG Pod on Twitter.
Dope. And I'm really excited. I'm going to try my best to make sure that I am at this cookout on Saturday because I know it's going to be a lot of black excellence out there and it's going to give us a reason to say yes. You know what I mean? Give us a reason to stay a part of the community. Give us a reason to be in the community. And I'm excited that you guys are taking us to the city of Philadelphia. And I hope you guys make your way down to my hometown in DMV area because that's where I'm from. And I know for a fact I can get a lot of people out there supporting you guys. So if you guys ever move to the DMV wave, make sure you hit me up because I would definitely reach out to a lot of people to help you guys out.
We will definitely be there soon. I promise. So yes, definitely try to make it to Philly, and it is like we're taking this far. I feel like us as black women, we can really do everything when we are united and we're supporting each other. So I just know it's gonna be like it's gonna go up from here.
It definitely is.
Yes, indeed, Ivy. Hi, this is True Heart from Higher Level Communication. I'm really, really excited. Hello. I'm really, really thankful that you were able to call in and just give us the lowdown about the Carefree Black Girl Cookout and just the movement that you guys just have started. And I just honestly, I see it taking over. I feel like the sky is only the limit and y'all have so far to go. I am from Philly, so I will definitely be there. I'm sad that you're not going to be there, but I'll see all your other lovely co-hosts.
I'm really trying to get down there because, you know, we're in New York, so I'm definitely trying to get down to Philly this weekend.
No, I totally understand. I mean, but if you don't make it, we just have to have another one. So that's right. I think that is a perfect opportunity.
See each other at, well, we're definitely going to bring it to the DMV. I believe we are. So.
Definitely. So we're going to link up there.
Yes, we definitely will. But thank you guys.
Thank you, Ivy. Once again, I appreciate you and I hope you have a great rest of your week as well.
No problem. You too, ladies. Take care.
And that wraps up another amazing interview here on Revive. We just gave you guys three different events that you can participate in this weekend. Definitely going down, two in the city of Philadelphia, one with the HBCU meetup. That is extremely important. Make sure you guys support the HBCUs. Keep these HBCUs alive because we need to understand our history. No one can teach us our history but us. Definitely. So make sure you guys stay tuned because they still lying and saying 4th of July is the Independence Day. We're not going to get that at no PW. PWI. They're not going to teach us that information at no PWI. So keep these HBCUs alive. Definitely keep my alma mater, Cheney University, alive, because that is the first and oldest HBCU in this country. Definitely shout out to all the CU alumni. Shout out to all the CU current students. Shout out to everyone who's working at Cheney University right now to make sure that we continue to grow and continue to thrive each and every day. Also, shout out to the Rev. She came through from Nashville, Tennessee. It was extremely exciting to have her on the show. I was pressed to have her on the show because she does something that I extremely love to do. She put food and conversation in one place and made it safe. She made it safe. It don't matter if I don't know you from a can of paint. You're going to come and sit at this table and you're going to have a conversation with me. We're going to converse on these issues that make you uncomfortable and just might make me uncomfortable. I love, love, love exactly what she's doing. And also shout out to Ivy and the Carefree Black Girl movement that they have right now going on. It's extremely important that we understand and we love our blackness. I love my blackness and yours. Shout out to my man D-Ray for putting that out. Definitely loving your blackness is important. Embracing your blackness is important. Walking in your blackness is important. Knowledge of your blackness is important. Love it, love it, love it. Educate yourself on how beautiful your black skin is. We're going to be back live on these airways on Sunday, July the 9th. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We're going to be talking about social justice. Yes, we're not letting you guys sleep here on Revive. You're going to stay woke. If you listen to Revive right now, you're going to stay woke. Every time we go on these airways, we are here to educate the people and re-educate the people out there who think they know it all. If you think you know it all, join in on the conversation. 215-490-9832. Make sure you guys are following us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. I am going live tomorrow as well at 7:30 in the morning. Follow me on your morning commute with comments with consciousness on both Facebook and Twitter. So if you're not following me right now, make sure you follow me. If you want to hear something on comments with consciousness, DM me, slide in my DMs, tweet me, hit me up on Facebook. It doesn't matter. We're going to talk about it. We're trying to keep the people woke. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC.